is huge. You have a right to you know, not be bound to a certain locale. But I will say this, Bill, I have met so many that have moved here, and they moved here for just exactly the opposite. They were conservatives living in a place where they no longer felt welcome. I had one lady, I asked her flat out, I said, why'd y'all move here from San Diego? It's a beautiful place. And she said, two things, freedom and cost of living. And I said, oh, wow. She goes, we realized we could live twice as good on our retirement here than we could out there.
Oh, yeah.
And so. Yeah.
Now, there's, I've got a couple of friends around here, especially in the fishing industry, that they made one trip out here and they're like, yep, I'm out.
Y'all got it going on. Steve from Huntsville sends me a link. He says, if you haven't seen this, you might enjoy it on a computer screen. Thanks, brother. I'll have to check that out later, but I appreciate you sending it. Racing from Hawaii again. He says, this very moment is my favorite as I read my Bible and listen to Right Side Radio, honoring our Lord Jesus. Praise God. Racing, thank you, brother. Stay with the faith, man. Appreciate that very much. Scaleman from Decatur. Scaleman from Decatur just says, pray tell. I love it. And then he sends me a meme. He says, people ask, what does the phrase pray tell mean? It's an interjection to please explain. Pray tell, how will they fare while you were away? That kind of thing. Yes. Scaleman, you are allowed to use that all you want. But on our audience right now, if you're doing shots, that was two more right there. Shots of eggnog. This, every time Phil says, pray tell. Marshall from Dubai says, Phil, you're killing me. Shots of eggnog is not my first choice of beverages, bro. The last time I did a drinking game, I woke up with my liver laying on the pillow next to me crying, don't do that to me again. Marshall from Dubai. Crazy audience.
Well, we mean non-alcoholic eggnog, right? I mean,
yes, that's what we mean.
Yeah, okay.
Goes well with maple bacon donuts.
Oh.
Okay. Listen, we're going to shift gears. Coming up later in the show, we're going to be talking about Christmas, pointedly about Christmas. And I want to hear favorite Christmas memories. I want to hear, you know, your traditions, things that you would love the rest of the world to hear from. I mean, you don't always get to share it with an audience this wide. So send me a text, 833-687-4448. That is also the call-in number. But we're not there yet. I got another dipper I want to do first. Israel stands. So here's the thing. Israel was attacked in a bloody manner on October 7th. Look back on that and realize that what we lost on 9/11 was awful. But on a per capita basis, like by a ratio of population, it was far more damaging to Israel in terms of how many they lost. Now, in theirs, it was like 1,700. They lost about a third what we lost on 9/11. I am not minimizing 9/11, by the way. What I'm saying is this. To a small, small country like that, it had a much deeper gut-wrenching impact because everybody knew somebody who was tortured, killed, maimed, left to die, dragged into the Gaza Strip as a hostage. Breaking news today came out that one of the American Israelis, so in other words, they have dual citizenship very often. One American citizen who shared dual citizenship as an Israeli was taken hostage. A 74-year-old man, 74-year-old civilian was taken hostage. He was killed. And it's one of those things you look at and go, okay, we just had another American die. Has President Biden issued a statement yet? Is he going to do it? No, what President Biden's doing now is beginning to put pressure on Netanyahu, wanting him to back off. Well, there are those right now who are starting to gain some traction with the idea of pressuring Israel to back off. And it is way too soon for that. And I'll tell you right now, so far, the leadership in Israel, the Netanyahu government, is saying, pound sand, we're going to keep fighting. They're going to make sure they don't have to run this risk again. The tunnel networks they're finding are at epic levels. And oh, by the way, it's been admitted now by Hamas that yes, they were using hospitals as cover for their tunnel entrances. What were they doing? They were putting all their citizens at risk. Why? Because they're cowards and they're terrorists. But then I just, there's an audio clip we're going to play here before the break. I'm going to take a couple of minutes with it. It is so worth it. It's a guy named Douglas Murray. If you're not familiar with Douglas Murray, he's an author and a conservative advocate. And he just completely, in his kind of dry British fashion, dismantled a liberal Democrat activist named Cenk Uygur. If you're not familiar with Cenk Uygur, C-E-N-K, his first name, Uygur, U-Y-G-U-R. Cenk Uygur is a liberal Democrat activist of Turkish descent and an apologist for Hamas. And he just got trashed on the Piers Morgan show the other night, and it was so good, I had to play it. Hit it, Butters.
But anyway, let me just get on to it. You say, first of all, I don't care about the death of Palestinian children. Yes, I do care. I care very deeply about it. But I also know that the responsibility for their deaths lies on Hamas, which has misgoverned their society for the last 16 years and now has been leading the country into being in a war with Israel. So, yes, it's on Hamas, this. As for seeing wars, by the way, I just mentioned about seeing wars because as far as I can see, you're very ill-traveled as well as rather ill-lettered and ill-spoken. And I mention that I cover wars and go to wars because I happen to think myself that it's worth seeing things with your own eyes, including things that you don't particularly like, but you report the truth. I don't know if you ever even leave your own bedroom. And I can tell already that you don't because you've already said something that demonstrates, you know, nothing about this conflict. You have just demonstrated it in the following terms. You said that this is why we need to push for a two-state solution and give legitimacy to the Palestinian Authority. I'll tell you something you don't know because I guess you spent no time in the West Bank, have you? I'll tell you something you probably don't know. The Palestinian Authority, Fatah, celebrated the 7th of October massacres. I'll give you another fact which demonstrates you know nothing about this and clearly haven't ever visited any Palestinians in the West Bank as I have. If there was an election tomorrow in the West Bank, the reason why there isn't one is because if there was an election tomorrow in the West Bank, Hamas would win. So your idea of a two-state solution, I'm afraid you are so out of date and you really should leave your bedroom. Because in this region, nobody thinks that there is a two-state solution on the table because there is not a viable negotiating partner. But I just want to make one other main point. You have gone on and on tonight throwing accusations out against the Jewish state, against me. It's the sort of thing you do. I know you're a sort of online pugilist and think you can run for office, and good luck with that. But I'd just like to point out that you only really get animated if the Jews are involved. And I can tell that for the following reason. I mean, your surname's Uyghur, isn't it? 1 million Uyghur Muslims in China have been put in concentration camps in the last decade. And people of your ilk never really care about that, do you? Because it's not the Jews doing it, it's the Chinese Communist Party. At the moment, 1 million people who are in Pakistan at the moment, who are your fellow Muslims and who happen to be Afghan, and I don't think you care about them, do you? 1 million Afghans are currently being forcibly deported from Pakistan to Afghanistan. You don't care about that. You're not riled up about that. You're not riled up about what the Janjaweed are currently doing in Sudan, where thousands and thousands of people are being attacked by the Islamist militia there. You don't care about any of that. You get exercised and you rile up what little base you have of malcontents because you're riled up when the Jews do anything.
All right,
it's
Cenk.
Perfectly obvious.
And then, Piers Morgan finally had to jump in and go, oh God. But what was funny, and you can't see the video, but what's happening there is this guy, Cenk Uygur, is literally just sitting there staring like he doesn't know what to do because no one has ever dressed him down like this. He has gotten away with his rhetoric for so long. He's had the uncontroverted ability to just espouse anything he wanted to say, no matter how objectionable, and no one ever called him on it until he dares to come on a show with somebody who's actually been there, done that, reported on it, and cares deeply about the topic. And he just got it handed to him. Well, y'all, what you just heard there, though, what you just heard is exactly what is happening. There is a movement afoot right now to not just anti-Semitism, but anti-Israel. How dare Israel defend itself? How dare Israel ever, you know, say that we will fight on until Hamas is around? Israel is an apartheid state. You know where the only openings are in the border out of Gaza right now? Into Israel. The Egyptians and the Lebanese have their border crossings closed. Pray tell, again, eggnog shot. Why would that be? because they don't want them. Israel is trying to get people to flush out of the way so they can fight Hamas, because Hamas raped and murdered and pillaged and came in and beheaded babies. And they lost a huge amount of people, and they're losing more right now in the fight. But Israel is still standing, and that's what we're going to cover when we get back from this break. Israel stands. I'm just saying. And oh, by the way, that clip was awesome. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, wow, man, making common sense like a superpower. So you may be wondering, okay, how's Israel standing up to all this pressure? And by the way, coming up soon, we're going to be focusing largely on Christmas. So if you haven't already sent me in some of your Christmas memories or your Christmas, favorite moments, or traditions, then please send them in. Text line 833-687-4448. I ran a little long on the last section, so we're not going to have much time right now, but I'll finish this particular piece up after the top of the hour by reading you a note from a mother of an Israeli soldier who was recently killed. Excuse me, an Israeli hostage who was recently killed. It's an amazing example of benevolence and resilience. In the meantime, speaking of resilience, how is Israel holding up under all this? Well, I'll tell you right now, Benjamin Netanyahu, who, by the way, in case you're not familiar, Benjamin Netanyahu himself used to be an Israeli special operations guy. He's got quite the military background, like most everybody else in Israel, because everybody had to have some form of military service. Well, he apparently had a pretty decorated background in Israeli special operations. He basically just did a video address to Hamas, and he said, surrender or die. He's not playing. They're not backing off. Story here from Reuters came out yesterday. Fighting in the Gaza Strip escalated on Thursday with some of the most intense Israeli bombardments of the year, and Hamas demonstrated it still has the ability to rocket Tel Aviv. Israeli bombing at its most intense over northern Gaza, where orange flashes and explosions could be seen across the fence from Israel in the morning hours. Israeli planes roared overhead over central and southern areas, dropping bombs. And then at the same time, in Israel's commercial capital, Tel Aviv, sirens were wailing. Rockets exploded overhead, intercepted by Israeli defenses, with shrapnel falling on schools where children were sheltering. It's still an all-out war. Don't think, by the way, it's just Israel going in and just pounding. Hamas is still fighting back. Israeli soldiers were ambushed last week, if I recall. And they lost, I want to say it was 10 in one ambush. Meanwhile, international pressures are ramping up. Malaysia is a major port of entry and or a port of call for seaborne trade. Malaysia said they will no longer allow any Israeli-flagged shipping to come into their ports. Why? Because they're a largely Muslim nation. And they are siding with Hamas on this. And so Malaysia's announcement, which might be somewhat symbolic because Israel doesn't flag a lot of their vessels, they're also not allowing anything to come into port that has its next port of entry being Israel. In other words, they're trying to stifle trade. I look at some of this, and then what's maddening to me is we've got our own president who has been staunchly in support of Israel suddenly coming out and saying, we got to get back to this two-state solution, and Netanyahu needs to calm down and back off. And I'm paraphrasing slightly, but basically, unprecedented support for Israel since the outbreak of the war. Now he's going after Netanyahu and members of his hardline coalition over their opposition to the two-state solution and calling what they're doing indiscriminate bombing. Nothing's indiscriminate when you tell people they need to get out and you target the building specifically and then you blow them up. There's more to this. Hey, look, we're going to wrap this up when we get back. Start sending me your Christmas. I want to hear it. Traditions, favorite memories. Butters and I got some of our own. We'll talk to you in a minute. Be right back. Right Side ruffians out there, you are listening to Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right.
You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Bill Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, wrapping up this section, and we'll jump into text messages and take the results of the online poll, Instagram poll we did on Christmas questions. But I'm going to want to hear, you guys start sending them. A few of them already have. Do you have Christmas traditions? Do you have Christmas memories you want to share? We'll read those to the extent we can. And just send them on in, 833-687-4448. Butters and I were just talking, and he had a great idea. I like your idea. They want to greet a deployed service member. Is that what you said?
Yeah, if you've got somebody right now that's deployed, and you know these days anywhere in the world that you're alone away from family, you know their name. If you don't want to give away names and locations, which we both certainly understand, just say, "Hey, yep, I've got somebody." But just love to know who's out there protecting us this Christmas.
Absolutely, good call, man. I want to do this. So this thing about Israel standing. I think it's important, first of all, that we not lose sight of what's happening on the far side of the world, because the cradle of Christianity, the world in which Jesus walked on earth, is at war right now, and it's a brutal war. And don't think, it's small, it's a little Gaza Strip. Y'all, if you haven't seen images, this is like the destruction like we haven't seen since the carpet bombings of World War II. Don't think for a second, though, too, that I am at all faulting Israel, because I believe they've got to stand. I think they have to stand up. They have said, by the way, in most recent statements, they'll continue to stand even if they are the only ones in the world that support what they're doing. They'll stand alone if they have to, because they are not going to live in fear of Hamas coming out of their tunnels again. They are not going to have their children having to have armed guards at their kindergartens. They are not going to have, you know, women who live in fear of what it would mean to be raped if they live on a kibbutz too close to the border. There's, and I don't blame them. Why would you? I mean, boil this down to your neighborhood. Think about this. If you lived across the street from somebody who threatened your children and said they were going to come to your house and do things to your family, and then they proved that they would do it by doing it to one of your neighbors, would you sit idly? Would you just wait and see? Maybe it'll get better on its own. Perhaps they'll mellow out over time. No. You'd be asking for law enforcement, and you'd be prepared to take action if you had to. That's the reality that Israel lives in as a nation. But there was a tragic circumstance that happened last week. Keep in mind, over 200 people were taken hostage. And these hostages included children, included innocent women and elderly. These were hostages. They were not prisoners of war. They were not in any way tactically obtained. They just grabbed them as they could and dragged them into the tunnels in Gaza. Over 200 people held hostage. Right now, I think it was 242, if I'm not mistaken. Right now, 105 have been released. Unfortunately, we just learned today that one American citizen of dual citizenship was shot by Hamas. A tragedy occurred last week. I've got a story here from the Daily Wire. It came out yesterday. An Israeli mother, it says, whose 28-year-old son, a hostage taken by Hamas, was mistakenly killed by Israeli Defense Forces. So if you're not familiar, there were three hostages, one of whom was named Yotam Haim. And Yotam Haim and two other men were apparently being held in the tunnel where an attack took place. And Israeli Defense Forces were just literally just crestfallen to find that they had actually, in the course of fighting Hamas, inadvertently killed three hostages. You know, they're there trying to rescue them, and then bad stuff happens. But let me just read you something that is probably one of the most gracious, and kind things that I have ever heard. I hope I can get through this. So an Israeli mother, it says, whose 28-year-old son, a hostage taken by Hamas, was mistakenly killed by Israeli Defense Forces, recorded an unforgettable message of support for the IDF. She wanted them to know that she loved him and did not find fault. This is the mother of one of the young men that was killed. And here's what she said, and I'm going to try and read it. She says, "Hello to the Bislak Brigade, Battalion 17. This is Iris Haim. I am Yadam's mother. I want to tell you I love you very much, and I hug you here from afar. I know that everything that happened is absolutely not your fault, nobody's fault except that of Hamas. May their name be wiped out and their memory erased from the earth. I want you to look after yourselves and to think all the time that you are doing the best thing in the world, the best thing that could happen, that could help us, because all the people of Israel and all of us need you healthy. And don't hesitate for a second if you see a terrorist. Don't you think that you killed a hostage deliberately? You have to look after yourselves, because the only way it can be looked after is if you look after us. At the first opportunity, you are invited to come to us, whoever wants to." Oh, wow. She said, "We want to see you with our own eyes and hug you and tell you that what you did, however hard it is to say this and sad, it was apparently the right thing at that moment. No one's going to judge you or be angry. Not me, not my husband Raviv, not my daughter Noya, and not Yadam, may his memory be blessed, and not Tuval, Yadam's brother. We love you very much." And that is all. That's how she ended it. She said, "And that is all." In other words, I'm a mother and I have spoken. That, ladies and gentlemen, is grace. That right there is mercy. And that is exactly what those young men needed to hear in Bislak Brigade Battalion 17, who sadly wound up realizing that fratricide had occurred, and it became a national thing. And there's a mother in the middle of all of this who reached out and said, "We love you very much. Take care of yourselves and keep doing what you're doing." And I love the part where she said, "Hamas, may their name be wiped out and their memory erased from the earth." God bless you.
She ain't playing.
Jewish mom, she's all in. All right, listen, we're going to take a break. We're going to come right back from this break, and we're going to get into Christmas because it's time, man. I want to talk about Christmas. I want to talk about turkey and ham. I want to talk about presents. I want to know, by golly, is Die Hard a Christmas movie or is it not? Y'all tell me. And if you got somebody out there in the world right now who's serving away from home, just text us and we'll call them out. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Hey, by the way, I got to tell you who else is just plain right about the way they do things. I love the Elm Foundation. If you haven't checked them out, the Elm Foundation, ELM, they're based out of Huntsville. They're a 501c3 organization that is literally changing lives by getting people back into productivity. I mean, they're getting folks off the streets. They're giving them, you know, a sense of dignity and self-worth again. And it's not by, like, just saying, you know, platitudes or throwing money at it like the government would do. No, they're using, like, conservative principles to teach people again how to re-engage with a work ethic, with having a plan, with having milestones. If it means they got to also help them find child care or living space or something along the way, they do those things. They put a whole plan together, individually tailored to the person, and they go at it. And y'all, they're making a difference. They're making a change in people's lives. The Elm Foundation. Now, they're based out of Huntsville, like I said, so their website is elmhsv.org. elmhsv.org. I would encourage you to check them out. We had them in the studio, did a whole hour-long interview with them. I thought they were incredible, and I'm proud to have them as a sponsor here on the show. Elm Foundation. Oh, by the way, this is year-end. Charitable contributions mean a lot. That's how 501c3s largely stay active, right? So if you are looking for some year-end giving opportunity, I just want to encourage you, check out the Elm Foundation at elmhsv.org and tell them you heard about it on Right Side Radio. Jeff from Indiana is on the line. Jeffro, how you doing, brother?
Doing pretty good, Phil.
Good.
Last day before Christmas, anyway.
What? So are you going to get a couple days off of driving?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I come back Tuesday, though. Wasn't wanting to, but that's how it works.
Well, that's I get it, but I'm glad, man. I'm glad you get some time. What's on your mind today? What you think about?
Hey, on this Palestinian-Israel thing, though, I have to say I agree with Joe Biden on this.
What?
There needs to be a two-state solution.
Okay.
There needs to be the state of Israel, and then they need to ship all the rest of the so-called Palestinians out to other Arab states. So there's, you know, there'd be the state of Israel, and then wherever they need to ship them to apparently Indonesia and all these other places that have supported them and taken up for them and basically put them in the position that they're in now, because they through giving them arms and through Iran and everything, that I think they need to do what the governor of Texas is doing, just basically planes, trains, and automobiles, pack them all up and tell them, you know, you've showed that you cannot live in peace with us, so you're not going to live on the, where, you know, they're so, just occupying a territory anyway, so they need to start shipping them out and to kind of like Chicago and New York and everything, you know, ship them all out to these Arab nations that supported them and then that don't really want them, but they've caused this, so I think they need to take them over.
So your version of a two-state solution is a state of Israel and a state in exile, basically. Get them gone. Well, I mean,
they're
about to be. I mean, Gaza now, Palestine, the West Bank is not under fire right now for the most part. You know, the Palestinian areas, the Palestinian Authority is split into two areas. They got the West Bank, and then they got the Gaza Strip. Gaza Strip is where it's at. Gaza Strip is the fight, but the Palestinians in West Bank are, you know, going to work every day and going to school and hanging out.
And as long as they live peacefully, that's fine and dandy. But if they don't, then, you know, shove them back. That's just the way it needs to be.
You know, and it's one thing to also be on the other side of the border just, you know, screaming things. It's another to come across the border and to rape women and behead children. I mean, that's just this whole thing needs to get eradicated. It's a cancer. It needs to get eradicated.
The Palestinians, when Israel was formed, was invited to live peacefully with them, and a lot of them do. And this bunch here, these Palestinians, so-called with Hamas there, they're the ones who said, no, we're not going to live peacefully. We're going to kill you. And so they've made their bed, and they need to lay in it. And these other Arab countries that supported them, they need to, you know,